for making it all right. We walk not by sight, but by faith. And we know it's all right before we even see it with our eyes to be all right, because you have already done it. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you are all right. Oh, Lord, bless us again. Thank you for this fellowship, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this fellowship with these two wonderful churches. And Lord, we thank you for any other visitors here. Lord, we thank you for this young pastor, Lord. Thank you for blessing him with the support that he needs. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless continuously as these two fellowships, Victory and Community Astoria, grow in grace. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless us to hear thy word one more time. Amen. How grateful we are to know that God is still on the throne. No matter what the situation may be, God is still on the throne. And if he wasn't on the throne, we wouldn't be here. So we praise God for that. I'd like to draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen. And I like to start at verse 5. Well, I'm going to start at verse 4. Thank you so much. In this time of transition and blessing, I read before you 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 4. For while one saith, I am for Paul or of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may take your seat. I want to use for a subject this afternoon, a balanced ministry. A balanced ministry. Amen. Sometime back in 54 AD, Apollos met Paul at Ephesus on Paul's third missionary journey. And the joy of that relationship was they both wanted to see God glorified. And they were both working for the same God, the same Master, the same Savior. And they met, and in their meeting, they understood that they both had a ministry to do. Apollos was one who definitely was enthusiastic about God. And Paul himself as well. Paul, as you know, had a reputation of having Christians persecuted. But he wasn't Paul of the salvation yet. He was Paul of being bound by the enemy. And Paul began his discussion of the church leadership by asserting that both he and Apollos were servants. Jesus said something similar when he insisted that the greatest in the kingdom must be the least. Unlike worldly leaders who look to be served, Christians look to serve. Worldly leaders will do anything they can to get to the top. Christian leaders are to seek only to serve the will of God. Apollos and Paul were simply servants through whom ye believe, he said. They were instruments, not the source of salvation. As Paul had reminded them earlier, he had not died for them, and they were not baptized in his name. It was often used as table waiters, if you will. And Paul was saying, why praise us? We are nothing but busboys. We are table waiters. We are only doing what we've been called to do. So don't put us above the Savior. If you're going to be for somebody, be for Jesus. And so what happened was that Paul and Apollos, they were comrades, they were good friends, but unfortunately there were some that were taking sides. And taking sides in a church is never a good thing, because what happens is that it creates things that the church was never intended to be. And so, there are times when we have to come in terms to say, do we have a balanced ministry? Is our ministry balanced where we will not tip from one side or to the other? Is our ministry balanced where we can run this race with patience? Is our ministry so balanced that we can look and see the Lord? Or is it not balanced where we see ourselves and not Christ? Is it off balance where we praise ourselves and not the Lord? Is it off balance where we look to glorify self and not glorify God? When we look to glorify self, it is an off balance ministry. It's not even really a ministry. It's really just a club that has come in. But the right ministry has the right attendance. The right ministry has the right attitude. And the right ministry has the right atmosphere. And the right ministry has the right adoration, so that God may be glorified. God only be glorified. He is not going to share his glory with nobody. He's a jealous God and a consuming fire. He has wasn't for us to give ourselves praise. It was for us to give God praise in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, we are only table waiters. And yet you're trying to act like as if we are the owners. We're not the owners. We've been hired. As a matter of fact, we are slaves to this gospel. We don't own anything. Silver and gold, we have none. But in the name of Jesus, we come to you. This balanced ministry. Says, don't praise us. Give God the praise. Don't look to us, because we too get sick. We too, our eyes get dim. We too, our ears, they don't work right all the time. We have some faults in us, but there's a God who has no faults at all. He's perfect in every way. He is our omnipotent God. He's our omniscient God. He is God all by himself. And so, therefore, don't praise us. Praise God. We are only waiters. If you praise us, you're going to be thrown off balance. You won't know how to really live this life. But if you praise God, you can make it. If you praise God, you can glorify him. If you praise God, you will understand that doors will open when they were shut. You can understand that he's the God. Of Apollos and Paul. Thank you, Jesus. Apollos' personality and his persona was that he was a handsome man, and he was very articulate. He was able to speak well. He loved the Lord, but he really didn't know much about Jesus. So, he was taught more about the Lord. And as he learned, he understood more about the value of his salvation. Some people don't know the value of their salvation. They know the value of their church membership, but they don't know the value of salvation. And so here, Apollos learned about Jesus. And he became more effective. Apollos, as I said, was a handsome man. He spoke well, and he had a lot of things going for him, if you will. On the other hand, Paul didn't look handsome. And Paul was not as articulate as Apollos. Apollos' skin was smooth, if you will. But Paul had some bruises. He had been some places where Apollos had not been. He had been arrested for preaching the gospel. He had been beaten up for proclaiming the name of Jesus. He had been beaten almost to death because he said Jesus was Lord and not Caesar. He was cast out, if you will, and he was not a friend of anybody after a while. But some Christian brothers and sisters took him in and helped him to enjoy his Christian life. And he went on serving, but he was a man that was put in prison, beaten. And you know what happened to Paul and Silas, that they were beaten and put in jail. But at the midnight hour, they still gave God praise. some rough things. He didn't look as handsome as Apollos. But he knew Jesus. And they would come together, if you will, and their work. And the Corinthians, who seemed to love more of their gifts than the reality of the service of God, that they gloried in their speaking in tongues. They gloried in gifts and not attributes of God. They gloried in these gifts instead of love. And so therefore, they did whatever they felt was right. And that could be a very dangerous thing, because when you feel what's right in the church and the Spirit is not leading you, that could be a very dangerous thing. Because we are never right without God. We are only right with God. And so here, the work that was needed to be done, people had the audacity and became such to the point where they were incongruous in their sight and their vision, that they couldn't even really see the real purpose behind the ministry. And so they said, one group said, I'm for Paul. The other one said, I'm for Apollos. I'm for this and I'm for that. Even to a point in another place where I'm for Cephas. And all they were doing was dividing the church. You see, because when God said, and this is a parallel here, if you will, God said to the Israelites, go on to the promised land, but Moses couldn't go. And nobody knew where God buried Moses. Had they known where God buried Moses, they would have went back there to worship that spot. But God didn't let them know that they could follow who God had put in place to take them to the next level. And there's something about that. So here it is, the unity. Your theme is about unity. And what they're bringing here is balance, unity, if you will, because they were saying that, you know, you're doing it wrong. You can't be for Paul and you can't be for Apollos and leave Jesus out. You can't be on a mountaintop and say, I'll make a tent for Elijah and I'll make a tent for Moses and I'll make a tent for Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is high and far above, head over shoulders over every leader. And I'll be finishing just a few. Here it is, the audacity that folk who knew no salvation, introduced to salvation by Paul, who planted, decided to go and praise the water. You know, we get in trouble when we get out of our lane. When we don't have any authority to get out of our lane. Because there's always an accident when somebody gets into somebody else's lane without permission. And if the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to get into somebody else's lane, learn to love your own lane. Learn to love your own testimony. Live to love your own soul. Live to love God, in which God is communicating with you, so that you may have a balanced life in Christ. Too many people want to switch here and switch there and don't even know where they are. They're lost. They need a GPS to get back. GPS. yet. So here, what's happening? They are actually splitting the church. Paul said, I planted, I started this thing by the grace of God and Apollos water. Now, if you only have planters and no water, what you planted will die. If you only have water and nothing planted, then you're wasting your water. It has to be balanced. It must be balanced. And so when you plant so that everything will be right. You fertile, you move the ground, you turn the ground, if you will, and you plant and you cultivate and you put water on it so that it may grow. It may have some chance to grow. Except for founders of pastors, when a pastor comes to a church, whether he's serving as an assistant or whatever, there's always somebody there before that pastor. And that pastor must look at that these people who are here have been planted. I'm not here to take up everything and throw it out. I'm here to water it so that it may grow. He said, Apollos watered, I planted. When the spiritual body works together, and you have the respect for the planter, and you have the respect for the waterer, then you can sit back and watch the growth. You can rejoice off the fruit that you see. Because it was done right. It was done in decency and in order. It was done to glorify God and not self. Anytime we glorify God, it's going to grow. It may not grow overnight, but it's going to grow. And it's going to be what it ought to be. Because God's plan never comes back void. Well, let me try to end on this, if you will. Later on in this wonderful letter, Paul talks about if the ear doesn't have any use for the eye, if the hands doesn't have any use for the feet, what kind of body do you have? But could you imagine? Because if God has called you to be a toe, you need to be a toe. And if God has called you to be a thumb, you need to be a thumb. Because the thumb does a lot of things that the rest of the hand can't do. And when you know your belonging, when we know our belonging, we know where we are positioned, then we can appreciate where God has placed us. And so could you imagine, there's a tree over there, and the eyes see the tree, and the eyes says, say, I want to touch that over there, that leaf. It looks so nice. I want that. But I can only see it. I can't get there. Feet, will you do me a favor? Would you start walking over there? And feet say, you know, I could walk, I could stand, and I could walk, but I can't walk without legs. Legs, will you get me over there? And legs say, you know what, I could push you, feet, but I need some hip power. My hips need to be in order so that I may go over there. And I can see him saying, I'm ready to go over there. Here goes hip bracing, pushing one way. And here goes the left foot going, and they're just going over, and eyes to see it, and eyes come closer and everything, and they get right there, and eyes say, I still can't get it. I can't get it. Hands, will you grab it for me? Hands say, I can grab it, but I can't reach it. Arms say, I can reach it if you grab it. So arms begin to raise up, and the hands begins to reach out and it grabs what it's looking for, but it can't really pull it in and say, something is wrong. And brains say, well, you didn't call on me. You got some wrong, but you need some brains. And so therefore, you didn't call on me, but if you call, say, what's wrong now? My feet are moving. My legs are moving. My hips are moving. My arms, my hand, my head. What's wrong now? And brain says, I know what's wrong. We need to put some heart into this. Heart, will you please love us enough so that we may get what we want? Don't you know that Jesus is the heart of by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody's been healed. say be complete to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, God bless you on your 74th anniversary. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open.